Dear Rudy, there we were, just 2 hours into a day-long Greyhound journey across the Great Plains, and one of my sons, Zach, already had a story to tell. We'd had to take separate seats as the journey began, and it seems that his seatmate, a scruffy man in his 20s, told him about the time that an M80 firecracker blasted a June bug through his shirt. He showed me the scar, Zach said. I had told myself that since 12-year-old Zach and 10-year-old Kurt had managed 9-hour car and train trips, a 14-hour bus ride could be manageable and even prove memorable, especially considering the rich mix of people and sights one often encounters on a Greyhound. I was not disappointed. Since we couldn't find seats together, we stared out our respective windows and watched the two lanes of Highway 10 unfold, even though everyone knows that Interstate Highway 94 is faster. But Greyhound isn't about speed, I reminded myself. Enjoy your book and stop fretting. I did, until suddenly Kurt wanted to switch places with me. I'd been enjoying the company of a snoozing 3-year-old girl, and now he wanted me to move? We exchanged seats, and within minutes, I was trapped by an elderly woman who shared the depths of her life story. Would I be like this someday, rambling inanely to strangers? No wonder the boy slipped away. After 1 p.m., the driver found his way to the designated meal stop at Fargo, North Dakota. I'd skipped breakfast, so hunger was gnawing at the corners of my stomach. Knowing that we only had 30 minutes to eat, I whisked the boys through the lonely red, white, and blue depot in search of a diner with steaming soup, fresh sandwiches, and homemade pie. What we found was a sea of vacant lots and an adult bookstore. I couldn't believe it. No restaurant. Dad, there's vending machines inside, one child consoled. I felt like crying, but stood outside the depot, staring at the porn shop's sign, which read, "Browsing fee, 50 cents, to be refunded with purchase." I resigned myself to a vendo meal of salami and cheese on a, quote, croissant, corn chips, and milk. The children seemed not to notice the appalling lack of culinary choices. We lumbered back on board, and I quickly discovered the pleasure of listening to Patsy Cline's Walking After Midnight while watching the prairie roll by.
I go out walking after midnight.
The boys bonded with another young man who was the proud owner of portable Sega and Nintendo games. Happiness reigned for hours. As the miles clicked past, and the bus eased into such ports of call as the Shamrock Bar in Castleton and Valley City's Farm Kitchen, a real sense of community began to develop. Video Boy's mom shared crumbled Oreo cookies, while we offered a bag of Skittles. At one point, I looked up from my book to find Zach cradling someone else's 2-year-old in his arms. The next meal stop was at a real restaurant, the Lone Steer, which was also a casino, motel, lounge, and campground in Steele, North Dakota. We kicked up a little dust in the gravel parking lot, then hustled inside past a display of seat caps that read, "I've been deer hunting for years and never shot one, but if one ever walks through the Lone Steer, it's dead meat." Back in the bus, we hummed along on full stomachs, passing the capital city of Bismarck and gaping at the world's largest Holstein cow just outside New Salem. And after 14 hours, 523 miles, and 29 stops, we arrived at our destination, Paragon Lanes Bowling Alley in Dickinson, North Dakota. Our cookie and video friends were bound for Oregon, so we said goodbye. As we ducked into my sister's car, I waved, but the bus windows were tinted, and I couldn't be sure they saw me.
That postcard was sent by Todd Melby, who lives and writes in Minnesota.
I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for me.
You know, the bus really gets a bad rap. It's especially important to small communities in America, towns that either lost or never had commercial airline service. It's their crucial link to the larger world. How many times have we seen movies where sons and daughters in small towns board buses as moms and dads wave sad, hopeful goodbyes? It's an American icon, the bus. Hey, wouldn't it be interesting, though, if some bus company started serving food from, say, the Silver Palette Cookbook? Or instead of stopping at a bank of vending machines, why can't the bus line find roadside cafes offering regional home-style cooking? Or how about a courtesy pack when you board that includes a few amenities like earplugs or a sleep mask for snoozing? Just a thought. I keep meaning to take the bus between New York City and Washington, D.C., if only for professional reasons. I haven't taken an intercity bus in a long time. When I do, I hope the kid next to me has a Nintendo.